one very quick item. I had a telephone call from Mac Bundy yesterday, late in the afternoon. I thought he seemed exceedingly friendly and cooperative. Had no sympathy whatsoever for Bobby's entry into the race. We had a little talk about the problems of Vietnam. He said we knew we were going through quite a difficult and critical period, and made the offer if he could be of any help at all, you only had to let him know and he would be glad to come down to help. Now, I pass it on to you because I thought you might want to consider the advisability, if you thought well of it, of calling him perhaps and asking him to come down. This is a very important speech that has to be written. I spent a couple of hours with Harry McPherson yesterday afternoon, and I have the feeling that maybe Mac could be quite useful during this particular...
Yes, I think it'd be very good. I think what we've got to do, too, is get out of the posture of just being the war candidate that McCarthy has put us in, and Bobby's putting us in, the kids are putting us in, and the papers are putting us in. Lindsay's out advocating rebellions this morning, and not responding to the draft, and things of that kind. Mayor urges youth to aid war resistance, and they've got the four-column front-page pictures. Now, when the head of the biggest city goes to doing things of that kind, you've got to really look at the picture. And I think that if we could get your better people, your young men, like I don't know who they are over there. I certainly don't want some of these civilians that are giving us this trouble, but if we could get any, if we had any young men at all, I think Goodpaster's one we ought to look at. Depew, maybe. Sit down with some of Rusk's people, one or two there, maybe Habib and perhaps Bill Bundy.
Right.
And see what it is that we could use with our left hand. Our right hand is going after their jaw with an offense on the war front, but we ought to have a peace front too, simultaneously, and use both fists, not just one, not to fight with one hand behind us, so that we can say we're the peace candidate, but we're the true peace candidate. We're not the Chamberlain peace, we're the Churchill peace. We're not the guy that is going to throw in the towel and let them take Athens. We're the Truman who stands up and finally saves Greece and Turkey from the communists. And that, of course, they have temporary peace, and if we surrendered, why, you'd have peace until they got their government installed. And then, by God, you'd have another
bigger war than ever.
A bigger one than ever. Now, we've got to develop that, but in order to do it, we've got to come up with something. Now, Goldberg's plan is not worth a damn. But if we could say that we're going to cut off Hanoi and Haiphong for a period, a specific period, and we're not going to touch them, and if they'll cut off around the DMZ or some other area where it's just, where it's real reciprocation, then we'll respond, and something of that type where it's really to our advantage, where the Russells just can't murder us. We ought to do that. We ought to have some kind of something peace, because they're concluding now that we're getting in the shape and getting in pretty quick with McNamara's peace talks and his Harvard stuff and all the stuff that they're putting out, and you can see from Nitz's letter, where we're just the Goldwater of 68.
That's right. That's right.
And we can't take that. We can't take it and hold, because people like Daley and them are not going to hold.
Now, they won't hold. Really, right in there, what it is, we're out to win, but we're not out to win the war. We're out to win the peace.
That's right.
And that's what we get. And what our slogan could very well be, win the peace with honor. And I think we've got to get that thought over. Now, I've been giving some consideration to offers of de-escalation. I don't know whether they have anything, but if we could begin to start a negotiation toward de-escalation, something to the effect that, now, if we could have an agreement with the North Vietnamese, that we would let Hanoi alone if they would let Saigon alone. I don't know that it's very practical, but considering something of that kind, we can't stop. But if there's some program of gradual de-escalation, that the parties could get into, we'd begin to get in a better posture.
That's right. I don't think they can do it because their announced thing is to do this job this year, and that's why they're coming out of the woodworks and hitting us as they are, so they're not going to take anything off limits. But if we could take something off limits for a period, that didn't really hurt us. And it seems to me the weather's not too good anyway, and it seems to me that we could say, now we're going for several days without hitting Hanoi and Haiphong. It seems that we've gone for 2 months without it. We ought to say that to the public, though. And we go in with a sporadic raid. We don't get any real benefit out of it. But we say, now, we're going for that. But if you want to respond, well, you let us know, and we'll go to a Geneva conference or something.
Yeah.
I think that you and Rusk ought to try to explore something that we could offer in that way. My own thought is that we ought to stress this peace thing, and we ought to stress the permanence of it, and anybody can get an umbrella and have a temporary one, but that just means more people get murdered later. But that we are willing to have a Geneva conference. We're willing to sit down and pull our troops out of there as soon as the violence subsides. We're willing to take our treasure and go back and help rebuild it as we did with the Marshall Plan, and kind of add on to my John Hopkins speech a little, add on to Manila a little, but we've got to have something new and fresh that goes in there along with the statement that we're going to win.
Right, but we have to be very careful what it is we say we're going to win.
That's right.
I think we frighten the people if we just land it and we're going to win. They think, well, hell, that means we're just going to keep pouring men in until we win militarily, and that isn't what we're after, really. Now, I think that...
Well, you frighten the doves, and we don't want to peddle to them too much. We've got to appeal to them some, but you sure as hell don't frighten the people. That's the thing that gives you the most support that you've got, and I'll bet you if you pay a little attention to the 45% that want to do more instead of the 5% want to pull out, we'll have a different attitude. But I just can't ever get Fulbright, but I cannot afford to lose Russell. Now, if I lose him, we've got nothing. That's what we got to remember. So we've got to get something that will not hurt our men materially, like Hanoi and Haiphong, for a period, for a month, for 2 weeks, for something that Buzz Wheeler can tell them we wouldn't do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got to make that public. We're not going to get these, Dove, but we can neutralize the country the way it won't follow them if we can come up with something.
Yes, that's right. I think you put your finger right on it. We have a posture now in which Kennedy and McCarthy are the peace candidates and President Johnson is the war candidate. Now, we must veer away from that, and we can do it. What we need is a policy now that is a consistent, far-ranging policy that we don't have. I think we need a policy of the kind that, say, a five-step policy, Mr. President, that we will continue to exert the military pressure. That I know we have to do. We'll never get anything from them if we don't do that. So as you say, with our right hand, while we continue to exert the military pressure, then I think we have to have a well thought out program that we try with our left hand, step number one. Then that might be some kind of mutual de-escalation that really doesn't hurt us. If that isn't successful, we might move to step number two. Now, at some stage in this matter, if nothing else works, then I think we have to keep in mind that maybe before the convention, and if not before the convention, before the election, I think we have to work out some kind of an arrangement where we start some negotiation.
Well, you can't do that one way, you know. And these folks are not wanting to do that.
I know.
They want to get rid of us.
Yeah, that's right. But I still think that there's a good chance to do that if it's prepared properly and if we work up to it in this plan. All I'm saying is we don't have such a plan, and the major task now is to come up with it, and I intend to give a good part of my time and effort to seeing if we can't come up with such a plan. But what I think at the moment is that with this important speech coming, I think it'd be quite a good idea, if you felt well of it, to call Mac and say, come on down and help us, Mac. And he offered to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.